God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Supernatural assistance for your supernatural existence.
True.
This one's for my homies. Supernatural. Say what? One time.
Are you guys ready for the word today? Amen. Have you guys had time to chew on that word from Pastor Chris Sarno last week? Amen. He goes 100 miles an hour. I tried to tell you, you got that little New Jersey thing in him. And boy, he just dropped a lot on us. And I want to encourage you to go and listen to the podcast. We have the podcast from every Sunday's message on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, all that. Just look up Elevate Life Church Sacramento and you can hear the messages there. But before he was here, we've been in a series called Supernatural, and I just want to continue in that thought because I believe God is doing something in our lives to prepare us for the supernatural move of God. And it's amazing to me how many people can just grow comfortable in their Christianity and grow comfortable with the day-to-day and what we see and lose sight of the fact that we serve a supernatural God. And evidence that we do this is many times, when a tough time hits, we fall to pieces. You know, we get a bad doctor's report or the bills come due and there's not enough money and situations rise and Christians fall to pieces. And I always got to check myself in that area when I get bad news. Hey, it's not time to fall to pieces. It's time to believe God for his supernatural power to intervene in our lives. Can I get an amen on that? It's important that we understand that God's a supernatural God because you got friends, right? You got friends that no amount of money is going to fix their problem. Right. Come on, amen? No, some of the things that we're facing, going to a therapist ain't going to do it. Nothing against therapy, amen? Go get your therapy, all right? Do what you got to do, but there's some situations that unless God intervenes, things ain't going to change. And we've got friends and family members fighting addictions for years and years and years and years, and they've been to the meetings, they've done the steps, and nothing against those things, but unless God intervenes, they're not going to be able to break that generational curse. And so what God is having us do in this house is remind the people that God is a supernatural God. Amen? And 2 weeks ago, we kind of turned a corner. Before that, we talked about the importance of praying in your spiritual language. 2 weeks ago, we turned a corner and we talked about the key of obedience and that it's always going to take obedience to unlock your miracle. It's always going to take an act of obedience to bring God's supernatural grace into your life. And so we looked at the story of Naaman, and we talked about who Naaman was. Naaman was somebody that was great in the eyes of his employer, in the eyes of the world. And his king and everybody in his kingdom of Aram thought that Naaman was an amazing guy, and he was. But he had a problem that nothing could cure except God, and that problem was leprosy. We know that leprosy is symbolic of sin. And so we saw that even though he had a good name, even though he was wealthy, even though he was a general in the army, nothing can deal with his problem. And so because there was a servant girl who worked in his house, basically that's being polite, she was a slave. She was a slave that worked in his house. She knew that God was a supernatural God. And based on the power of her invite, Naaman was later on able to encounter the supernatural God. And we read the story where he goes to the prophet's house and the prophet Elisha tells him, bathe in the Jordan River, not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven times. And his leprosy would be cured. And we looked at that story and we talked about how, why was it seven times? And we talked about, well, seven there in that represents the process of obedience. And how we talked about most people, they just want to obey one time and have everything change for them. This is why, as a people group, Christians are the most deceived sometimes. Can I talk about this for a minute before we get into our text? I often wonder, you know, you see these television preachers on TV, and everybody from the outside knows they're fake, but they give a plea and they say, if you want to receive financial increase, send me this, and God will give you your breakthrough. What kind of people look at that and go, amen, I'm going to do that? It's not faith-filled people. You want to know who it is? It's people who want a one-shot and I'm done deal. And if you didn't learn anything from 2 weeks ago, you better learn this, that obedience is a process. Yes. Yes. It's a process. And this is what God was trying to show us in that story of Naaman there. He could have said, hey, he could have waved his hand over Naaman and said, be healed. But he wanted to teach a process, a principle to us, that obedience is a process. Quit looking for your one and done situation. You're going to have to obey God today. And then next week, and then next month, and then next year. Come on, somebody. Amen. See, we want to go to church one time and hear the man of God one time and have everything leave our life that is bad. We want to give one offering and see everything change in our financial life. And we've got to understand, we've got to get rid of that thinking, okay? It always comes from a process of obedience. And that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. And I want to encourage you to go on the podcast and re-listen to that over and over again. And let's pick up now. We're going to start here from 2 Kings 5:17, because there is actually 5:15, because there is a part two to this story, okay? We left off in verse 14, where he went down to the river and dipped himself in the Jordan seven times, as the man of God told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Now let's pick up at verse 15, and then we're going to jump right in. It says this, then Naaman and all of his attendants went back to the man of God. And he stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. Verse 16. The prophet Elijah answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to any other god, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant, when my master goes to the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. And then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him, and I'm going to take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, oh, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, 2 young men of the sons of the prophet have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman says, hey, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments. And he handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. And when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now for your presence to be here, to speak to us, Lord God, to talk to us, to teach us about the importance of obedience and how we need to be careful of walking in disobedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's jump in here today because this is actually part two to what we talked about last 2 weeks ago. We see that Naaman was able to receive the supernatural miracle from God through his obedience. But how many know obedience isn't just for some people, it's for all of us. And I love this second part of the story because God is not giving two different standards in the kingdom. He's not saying preachers have one standard and you got other standard. He's basically saying, hey, we all need to obey. And he illustrates this in this story when now that Naaman has obeyed and been given a miracle, now Elisha and his crew, his church staff, his leadership team, it's now time for them to be tested. And so Naaman comes back and he's super thankful, right? He's super thankful that God did this miracle for him. And he comes back and he says, Pastor Naaman, here, man, let me give you something. Let me bless you for what you've done for my life. Let me sow a seed into your ministry. And this may seem all good and all well, except that God had told Elisha not to accept anything. Elisha saw his moment here. Elisha saw that the same requirement that was given to Naaman was on his life. If Naaman's got to obey, then I got to obey. Come on, if you got to obey, the praise team's got to obey. Y'all better catch this. If I expect people in this church to obey, the staff better obey. Because there's not two different standards here. We're all in the same kingdom. The principles that work for you work for me. The principles that work for me work for you. And I'm so glad the prophet Elijah knew this. But there was somebody on his team that when the test came to him, he got hood all of a sudden. Oh, come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. He got a South Sac flashback. He saw an opportunity. And his love for an opportunity blinded him to what this thing's really about. This thing is really about obeying God. Come on, if you did not know it, in the kingdom of God, there is only one king. That's why Jesus preached the kingdom. Because what we're supposed to be doing is submitting our lives to the king. And when God gives us instruction, because he's the king, we are to obey. And Naaman found that out. And Elijah knew that. But there was this guy by the name of Gehaziel. Gehaziel was a servant of God, was a servant of the man of God, and he was somebody on the leadership team. But see, he, for some reason, thought that, well, that might be what pastor is saying, but I'm going to do me. Come on. And I'm sure in Gehaziel's mind, he does what a lot of us do. Well, doesn't God want me to be blessed? Didn't Pastor Chris Sarno said, I'm the head and not the tail? Didn't he show us that message last week about Deuteronomy 28 and all the blessings coming into our life? And God, doesn't God want me to be blessed? And it seems that Naaman has the power to bless me. Ooh, I think God is speaking right now. And pastor, that may be okay for you to say no, but I got a different, God is telling me something different. You all need to catch this today. You know how many times I've heard that in a counseling session? Oh, pastor, that may be what you think, but you know, I feel like God is telling me something different. I've sat in front of singles and I've said, hey, is that guy you're dating, is he a Christian? No, he's not. I said, well, what do you do with that? Because the Bible says not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Yeah, but God, but pastor, I just feel something different. I feel like God is telling me, come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? We know the Bible says, hey, you should be a part of a church. You're supposed to be planted in the house of God. Yeah, but pastor, I just feel like, you know, God is wanting me to go out on Sundays and feed the homeless. I know people like that. They won't be a part of the church. They're going to do it their way. And although feeding the homeless is an amazing thing, it's a good thing, you should do that thing. You know what's an even better thing? Obeying God. So Gehazi was one of these cats, right? He saw the miracle, didn't change what was in his heart. He knew the instruction, didn't change what was in his heart. And so he gets this revelation. He tries to, you know, get his hustle on. He tries to get a come up. And as the guy goes away, they're all waving bye to Naaman. He plots in his heart, here's what I'm going to do. Hey, guys, I got to go use the restroom real quick. I must have ate a bad burrito or something. I'm going to be in here a while, okay? And he goes back there and he runs down the hill so that nobody saw. And he makes up this story. And Naaman's still super thankful. He knows, oh, I saw that guy at the prophet's house. He jumps out of his chariot. Is everything okay? And Gehazi makes up the story. Yeah, but, you know, pastor sent me down here because, you know, there's two guys in our camp that could really use those things that you offered. He's like, oh, yeah, go ahead and take them. And he takes them. Let's look what happens here in verse 25. So he ran back to the house, and look what it says. And when he went in, he stood before his master, Elisha. And Elisha asked him, hey, man, where you been? Look what he says. Me? Your servant didn't go anywhere. Lie number one. Gehazi answered, verse 26. But Elisha said to him, yo, was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to take money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards and flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will now cling to you and to your descendants, listen to this word, forever. Then Gehazi went from Elijah's presence, and his skin was leprous, for it had become as white as snow. Very sobering scripture for me. I hope it is for you. Now, I know we're under a new covenant of grace, and I know, you know, we don't have to have fear of these things in particular, but here's what you better catch from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a shadow for you and I to learn from. And we're to learn from that because God does not change. The God that looks down on disobedience still looks down on disobedience. He still does. Now, thankfully, because of the blood of Jesus, there's grace that is involved and we don't have to, God ain't gonna put leprosy on anybody today. But, and you need to remember this today, disobedience will still produce consequences in 2021. Now let's unpack what's happening right here. Gehazi, I thought he got over because his pastor didn't see what was going down. Oh, somebody needs to catch this today. Because some of y'all in here be like Eddie Haskell believers. Now, only about half of the room got that there because, you know, used to be a show called Leave It to Beaver. Oh, it was before my days, so, I mean, you know, it was from like the 60s maybe, right? Late 50s, 60s in black and white. And if you over 40, you probably watched it on Channel 40. You know, before cartoons came on, Leave It to Beaver came on. And there used to be this character on there by the name of Eddie Haskell. And Eddie Haskell was a gangster. He just was. He didn't sag his pants. He didn't wear a ball cap. But when he was with the guys, ooh, he was getting everybody in trouble. He was getting them to do crime. And when he would get around Beaver's parents, "Hello, Mr. Cleaver." He would talk so proper. And he would be on his best behavior. And he would fool all the adults. But you and people that were watching it, we knew, man, this guy's a snake. You know, we got believers that are like that. If a pastor or a leader walks in, they change their behavior. Oh, pastor, God bless you. Hallelujah. And we can always tell. Just like Beaver's parents could always tell, Eddie Haskell was full of it. We could always tell. Now, you know, the stronger you get in God, then they start doing it to you. Right? You ever notice that? You go to the office. Now that people know you're serving God and you don't listen to crazy music no more, you don't act crazy, every time they get around you, "Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that word, I'm sorry." You guys experience some of that too. See, we're consumed many times with performance and we lose sight of who we should be really looking to please, and that is God. Gehazi was one of these dudes. He came out of there, probably came, "Oh, God, oof, I'm all good now, guys." Elijah's like, "Man, what are you talking about? Where'd you go?" "Oh, nowhere. You ever watch Cops? I think they took it off the air, but Cops used to come on. Same thing every time. Police pull over somebody, start searching the car, find drugs. "Whose are these?" "Oh, those aren't mine. I don't know where those came from." Every single time. Come on, some of you won't laugh because that was you. You just went on Cops. Come on, let's bring it home. You ever bust your kids out on something? "Who left this cup here?" "Oh, I don't know. It wasn't me." All of a sudden we get amnesia. Gehazi is the same way. But look what Elisha begins to expose through the Spirit of God. "Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot?" Elisha starts giving details. "I saw when dude stepped out of his chariot." He starts giving more details. "Is this time to take money or accept clothes? Or olive groves or vineyards?" Wait a minute. We didn't read that in the story. Could it be that Elijah is now beginning to read the mail of Gehazi? The thoughts, I should say. Maybe getting vineyards, flocks, and herds, and male and female slaves was what was rolling around in his head. "Ooh, man, I can get that money. I can go get me a vineyard. Ooh, I could do this. I could do that." And God just calls it all out. And he says this, "Naaman's sin will cling to you and to your descendants forever." Some of you might go, "Man, that just seems so harsh." But remember, what is leprosy a representation of? Sin. And guess what? When a mom and a dad choose to live a life of sin, you better believe the same thing is happening to you and your family. The same curse is working through us. My kids don't know it yet, but the greatest thing I've ever done for them was give my life to Jesus. They don't know it yet, but the greatest thing my wife ever did was give her life to Jesus. Because in doing that, we cut off some things that can no longer travel through our bloodline. Oh yeah, give God a good praise for that. Now, I know they wish they could go to the same parties as everybody else. I know they probably wish they could stay out and creep like some of their friends. I don't know. Trying to look for a nice way to say things. And maybe your kids also wish, I wish my mom and dad didn't go to church. But they just don't know. Tell your neighbor they just don't know. They just don't know what we're saving them from. Because the same thing was happening here in Gehazi's day. Now, here's the thing you need to choose. Some of us in this room, right? Check this down. Catch this real close. I'm saying this because I love you. Some of you are Gehazi believers. You're only doing things. Your only salvation is being seen doing what you're doing. And you think because nobody sees how you talk to your wife at home, how you cuss out your kids at home, how you treat your husband at home, what you say about him when you get with all your girlfriends. Are you tracking with me? See, we think all that don't matter. And we begin to get puffed out chests and hold our head high because of what we do here in the scene. And we worship and we praise and we have confidence because what everybody sees is the good stuff. But what judgment had to be passed on Gehazi was for the stuff that he thought nobody saw. Elisha didn't come and go, hey man, you know what? Because every time I'm around, you're cool. You ain't gonna get leprosy. And God didn't give him points. You know, you're doing all that. You're doing all that behind the scenes, but because you're a staff member, yo, I'm gonna let it pass this time. He got the same judgment that Naaman got. But Gehazi was deceived in thinking, catch this now. If I just perform when the prophet's around, I'm good. And God's here to tell you today, it ain't good. It ain't good. You can fool your pastor, but you can't fool God. And we got Christians that roll like Gehazi. Oh, come on. We got Gehazi Christian Center somewhere in our city. Some of y'all used to go to it, where it was all about performance. It's all about putting our best Sunday best on. Not just the clothing, but the face, the attitude, the language. And then once you leave the auditorium, you go back to doing you, boo. Thinking that you got over. I got my word today. I got my word today. No, you're deceived. Because what is still happening is sin is still running in your war, in your world, in your life, and into your generations. And it will forever until somebody says, it stops with me. It stops with me. Are you catching this today? Come on, don't amen me and not check yourself. We do this. This is the human nature. It's amazing to me in 2021, the same thinking that permeated Gehazi's life way, 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 way back then is still in us today. And the reason for that is this. It's the sin nature. Now, I'm sure if we pulled Gehazi out of the grave and we interview him, he would be here and say, hey, man, this is what I was thinking. I'm thinking, yo, I've heard a lot of preaching that God wants to bless my life. God wants me to have great things. So I saw my opportunity and I took it. And what I would say to Gehazi was, you missed it, man. God is not about, he's not your genie. He's not just about seeing you blessed. God's about wanting your heart. And what God wants more than anything is for you to obey him. And you got to figure this, right? It's in obeying him that the greatest blessing resides. This is where we got to stop chasing blessings. Blessings chase us. Supposed to chase us. The Bible says, whatever I put my hands to do, it should prosper. When I'm obeying God. when I'm listening to his voice, doing what he says to do, not chasing opportunities, not chasing blessing. See, we chase blessings like, here's what it is, we serve blessings, not God. We just chasing the blessing. Where's the blessing? Let me go after the blessing. How do I get my business blessed? And that's when we get deceived, chasing blessings. Then you become like that little old lady sitting there watching Christian TV, hearing this evangelist with fake hair and fake makeup and plastic surgery tell you, if you send it in right now, brother, your breakthrough will come. See, somebody that's got some sense and understands process and understands obedience ain't gonna get fooled like that. Because we understand it's not a one-time thing. I don't have to chase your breakthrough, preacher. What I gotta do is obey the voice of God in my life, do what he's called me to do, be planted where he's called me to plant, and live out this Bible, and blessing jumps on my back. It just jumps on my back. I want to give you some keys here that I want you to write down today. Number one, from this story, you got to learn this. Disobedience opens the door for the enemy to destroy your life. Do you have those back there? Disobedience opens the door for the enemy to destroy your life. Disobedience almost stole Naaman's healing, but he obeyed. How did he obey? Listen, he humbled himself. How do we know this? Because the Bible says that he went down to the Jordan. And then he got down into the river. And then he dipped himself down 7 times. That word down speaks of humbling yourself. But disobedience, right, speaks of pride. Disobedience, man, you'll always have excuses. You always got reasons, but none of them work. Disobedience opens the door for the enemy to destroy your life. Some of you are waiting for a preacher to come lay hands on you, and we want that. We believe in the laying on of hands. We've had that here. We'll continue to have that. But you're waiting for an instance to change everything. An instance can change everything. But it's usually in the instance of obeying God. Pastor, I want to fix my marriage. Then what is it you got to stop doing? And what is it you got to start doing? Obey that. Are you tracking with me? Come on, it works down to the lowest part of whatever it is you want to change. It all comes down to obedience. I want you to write this down. Disobedience cuts off the flow of the supernatural. Disobedience will cut off the flow of the supernatural in your life. Could it be why we don't see an outpouring of supernatural power in our churches? Is because our churches are full of disobedient believers, disobedient leaders, disobedient pastors. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody else. I'm looking in the mirror for myself, for my staff, for my team, for this church. I'm preaching this to us. Disobedience will cut off the supernatural. What is it you need God to do? You need to read that Bible like the answer to the thing that you need is in there. Because can I tell you a secret? It is. It is. Pastor, I want a man. The secret's in the book. Pastor, I need a good woman. The answer's in the book. And guess what the book says? Ladies, you ready? It's going to hurt you. The book says a good woman is hard to find. I didn't say it. That's the book of Proverbs. You better get to Propel. Obedience. And yet we got people, they don't crack that word open at all. They don't read it. They just want to come and we'll get the word on Sundays, and that's good. We give you the word here too, but you better search that thing, that Bible, for the answers. And when you find the answer, do what it says. You want a better job? The answer's in the book. You want to be more successful in any area? The answer's in the book. But you don't read the book. So you don't know what to do. And because you don't know what to do, you don't do it, and nothing changes. Some of you are so stuck in your Christianity because God can't give you any new instructions because it would destroy you. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Every direction from God that you get, you will be held accountable to obey. Do you know when we face judgment and we see, some of y'all think that, I don't face judgment because the blood of Jesus wipes out my sins and so there's no judgment. No, there is a white throne judgment specifically for believers. If you read the Bible, you would see that. This is a different judgment than the world. The world's going to be judged on their sins. We're going to be judged. Man, we don't have that problem. Praise God. Come on, somebody say praise God. Whoo, we get in. Amen. We ain't got to face that judgment. Is it heaven or hell? We know the blood of Jesus has saved us. But we get called into another room. And we're in there giving high fives until they call your name. Hey, what's up, Jesus? He goes, how you doing? Good, good. And he pulls out the book. Bam. And you go, go ahead. You see, I went on that missions trip, right? You see, I tithed, right? God, you saw how much I gave that 1 year? God, you see, does this show when the stimulus came in and what I did with it, God? I didn't spend it all. I wanted to, but I didn't. And God goes, yeah, I see that. Good job, son, good job. But God will only begin to look at the things he asked you to do. That's it. Let me put it to you like this. If I ask my son to clean his room and say, when I go to work and I come home, I want to see that room clean. Yes, Father. And I come home, and he cut the lawn. He cleaned the dishes. He cleaned the bathroom, which are all good things. But he didn't do what I told him to do. Do you know, I'm the kind of father, and they'll tell you this, you're still getting disciplined because you didn't follow the instruction I gave you. I'm going to clap for you, son. Good job. You finally cut the lawn. Amen. Good job. But hey, I asked you to clean the room. Oh, but I was doing all this other stuff. That's a little picture of what we'll face one day. Because what God is after, what did Jesus say? If you follow me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. That's what he was saying. And what we will face Christ and what we'll be judged on is how well we obeyed. Amen. Not how successful our business got, unless that was your assignment. And it could very well be. But it's the obedience that God is after. Are you tracking with me today? Now, let me just tell you this, another thing about disobedience here. It's not God that is bringing things on you. It's the consequences of your choices. Now, I need to say this because some of you, I don't want you to walk out of here like God's going to get you. Ooh, I better obey God because if I don't, he's going to get me. And he's going to put leprosy on my... See, people are going to hear what they're going to hear. That's not what's happening here. If you walk away from God today, that doesn't make God your enemy. What it does is it opens up your life to your enemy. It also opens up your life to the consequences of not having God in it. And it's not like God's like, oh, you gonna go back to the world? Oh, okay then, all right. Here's some sickness, bam. Oh, you don't wanna serve me no more. Okay, here's this crazy woman that's gonna jack your life up. You need to understand this point. Our God is not like that. And maybe you're in a pit right now. You need to understand God is still there to pull you out of it. And don't you dare assign blame to anything that you're dealing with right now that is simply a consequence of your choices. How many are catching this today? It's kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden, right? God says, man, you can have all this. It's all yours. Just don't touch this tree and don't eat of it. Because if you do, you'll die. Now, did God come out and kill Adam? No. But when they ate of that tree, consequences came and destroyed what God had built. God didn't destroy it. He simply gave the choice. Pastor Chris Sarno talked about last week, Deuteronomy 28, powerful, powerful scripture there. And I know it's under the old covenant, but it gives you a place of understanding to see the basics of what I'm talking to you about here. If you obey, this is what you get. If you disobey, this is what happens. Now, the mind of slaves, that's all they could get. That's all they could grasp. It was do and don't do. You and I aren't slaves, but we still think like slaves. That's why we ask questions like, can I be a Christian and still smoke? Can I be a Christian and still slip up and cuss? Can I still, you know, we still think like, because you're thinking like a slave. What I'm trying to do is get you to think like a son. And the issue of being a son is simply obeying the Father. And when you obey your dad, you get the blessings. My wife and I have told our kids a long time ago, listen, you're going to have a good life, but it's your choice. We're going to have a great relationship, but it's your choice. These are the rules of the house. And as long as you abide by them, I'm going to get you everything I can. The grades are good. The attitude's good. The chores are good. We're going to take good care of you. But when you cross that line, and you decide you're going to live how you want to live, how many know it's a different world? And I'm not talking Cosby. Amen. Some of y'all don't remember a different world. Praise God. I'm getting old. I turned 50 this year. It's showing. Let me give you something here from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Listen, I'm telling you, it's a heavy word. It's not heavy on you. It's heavy on me. Because I got a choice to be an Elisha leader or a Gehazi leader. I could live my life in the spotlight really good, but behind the scenes, I'm running deals like Gehazi. I don't want to be that kind of leader. Pray for your pastors, y'all, because we got the same things to deal with that you do. We're going to be about this, or we're going to run our little side thing in the back that y'all don't maybe see, but God sees. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 7. And this is what I want you to grasp today. It says, this is from the Amplified Version, which just kind of stretches it apart and makes it what it says, amplifies it. It says this, the reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping him and regarding him as truly awesome, this is the beginning and the preeminent part of knowledge. It's the starting part. It's the essence. But arrogant fools despise skillful and godly wisdom and instruction and self-discipline. See what it says there? The beginning of knowledge and wisdom is fearing the Lord. What is fearing the Lord? Well, the first thing it says there is worshiping him. Now, worship, I know in our American culture, we resign worship to the performance of worship, singing of songs, lifting of hands, and those types of things, and that is a part of it. But what worship truly is, you ready? It's obedience. the fear of the Lord, that is obeying him and regarding him. Why do I obey him? Because I believe he's awesome. I believe there's no other being on the planet worthy of my time. Money is not worthy of the worship that I should be giving to God. Relationships are not worthy of giving of what I should be giving to God. Only God is worthy. And he says here, it's the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, having the reverence. When we don't obey his word, you know what we're showing? We're showing we're playing games with him. We don't think he's awesome. When you don't have a fear of God, that's like, I'm going to do what I want to do. Boy, you don't know God. And you're also, you know what else? You also lack wisdom. Can I give you the SAC translation? Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
If you lack wisdom, you're dumb. Tell your neighbor, don't be a dummy. Don't be a dummy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's where it all starts. And guys, what I'm trying to get you to see today is we all need to have a fear of God. Quit living like it don't matter to him. It does matter. What are the things that God is requiring of you? Some of those things, let's just be honest, some of the things we don't want to obey is because they're hard. Or because we don't want to do it. Right? But when you understand who God is, when you have a reverence for him, a fear of him, not a fear like, oh my gosh, he's going to kill me. No, not that kind of fear, but a reverence to want to please him. Amen. Let me give you one more and I'm done here. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10 says this, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? I have more than enough burnt offerings, rams, fat of fattened animals. I've got no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Incest is a whole other thing. But it's also detestable to him. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I can't bear your worthless assemblies. Your feasts, your appointed festivals, I hate those with all of my being. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, listen to this, I hide my eyes from you because you're so fake. Even when you offer many prayers, I'm not even listening. Your hands are full of blood. You wash and make yourselves clean. You take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Come now and let's fix this matter. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they're going to be like wool. If you're willing, here it is, and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Let me read it to you real quick here in the Message Bible. God says this, "Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games, your monthly conferences, your weekly Sabbaths, your church special meetings. Your meetings, meetings, meetings. I can't stand one more. Meeting for this, meeting for that. I hate them. You've worn me out and I'm sick of your religion. Religion, religion. while you keep going right on sinning. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way. No matter how long or loud or often you pray, I won't be listening. And do you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces and your hands are bloody. I wonder if he's talking about gossip right there. Go home, wash up, clean up your act, sweep your lives clean of the evil doing so I don't have to look at them any longer. Say no to wrong, learn to do good, work for justice, help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, go to bat for the defenseless. What's God saying through this? He's saying, I don't just want your service. I don't want your offerings, your tithes. I want your heart. It's what he wants. Now, giving and serving is a part of it, but if he don't have your heart, it's meaningless. As a pastor, I read this, it scares me. Because I never want him to look at our church services and go, they're singing again, but they won't stop sleeping together. He's praying, but he's still selling drugs on the side. He thinks I don't see. Oh, there he is, going to church again. He's still on them porn sites every Friday night. Now, what I love about God is he just doesn't cut them off and say, forget y'all. You know what he does? He calls them to the altar. And he says, guys, I'm tired of it. Let's fix this right now. Let's get it right now. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's get it right now. Because we can deceive ourselves into thinking that our disobedience don't matter. We can be like Gehazi. Just because nobody saw it, I'm good. But God sees everything. Yeah, but I serve, I go to church, I do this. Yeah, but when are you going to stop that thing that God's been telling you for so long? Close your eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, I know this word today is something we all need to chew on, including myself. Because, Lord, disobedience cuts off the flow of the supernatural. And, Lord, though this word is very up in our faces, because we know that you're a loving God, we know it's coming from a place of, hey, let's just fix it.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.